And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked, you know, that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
So I called Andrew Nimhard and asked him if it was okay to record this episode. And he, as the new owner of the Warriors, gave us clearance. So we are allowed to have a Warriors plus minus today. We don't have to call it Pacers plus minus or Andrew plus minus.
Is he the Sportsman of the Year now? He beat the Sportsman of the Year, so I think that's how it works.
Have we seen a rookie do that to the Warriors?
First player ever, not rookie or non-rookie, veteran, whatever. First player ever to have 30 points and 10 assists or more against the Warriors in their first ever game against the Warriors.
Hey, I liked him coming out of college. I think you go back, look at some of my draft stuff. I think I said, hey,
you maybe were a Suggs guy. Yeah,
I picked him 28.
Yeah, at 28, draft. You're like looking through some of the guys, like, you know what? A point. I didn't think he could do that. Who knows if he can keep doing that? But I thought he was a smart, tough point guard. And guess what? He's a pretty smart, tough point guard. You know, I don't know if he's a great point guard, but if you can do that once in a while, it was pretty amazing. He just was lights out, controlled the game. He did a Chris Paul. That's what Chris Paul does. That was very impressive. All-star, superstar. But okay. Were you guys there? I wasn't. I had 49ers duty, but there were some major problems for the Warriors. I think the same kind of problems we've seen. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think energy was really low.
It was rough.
You could feel it in the building, like just sluggish. I mean, right from the start. I mean, obviously the point guard, Steph goes 3 of 17. That's, you know,
he's gassed. He needs a day off. Like he was looking tired in the second game of that back to back. My normal take on when Steph is tired is when he just stops driving completely. And what was the game? The back to back game.
Bulls Rockets. So the Rockets was the
Rockets.
Second one.
All right, Rockets. He takes of his 21 shots, 17 were threes. That was my first sign. He's tired. He's not driving. If he's not getting the calls, he's not gonna drive. And he was gassed.
Want the second sign? Steve Kerr, obviously they get Sunday completely off, but decides to also not do shoot around Monday. And then his explanation was like, you know, this is one of the rare 3 and 4 nights that they've had. And he was like, and he could feel the team being tired. He was saying this pregame, and then they came out and, you know, they're down double digits right away. By the way, to a Pacers team, no Tyrese Halliburton, no Miles Turner,
On a back-to-back, by the way.
Yeah.
So at some point, I get it. I understand, but this is like, it's all at home. I mean, you know, I understand players get tired at whenever, but this is not like the most. So what's going to happen on this big road trip coming up in a week? You know,
yeah, with two back to backs on it. By the way,
I mean, this is they are.
We know what's going to happen. Yeah. We've already seen what's going to happen. Yep. They're going to lose.
Yep.
2 and 4 or something.
So then they're going to get under 500. They're looking at getting back under 500 again. You know, whatever. It's a long season. But, you know, part of managing an older team. But I don't think that's a great sign. I didn't have Wiggins. Understandable. But as Slater mentioned, Pacers didn't have a bunch of guys. It's a bunch of their best guys.
And don't worry. They have a very easy home game before the road trip. Celtics on ABC Saturday night, this Saturday. Finals rematch.
Celtics, who are like the greatest offensive team in the history of the NBA right now, who are dying to play the Warriors. So yeah, that might be a pretty interesting, but you know, as we know, like Warriors get up for those games, so we'll see. But I think I'll just say, like, my conclusion for that is, even, you know, knowing Wiggins come back, they need another player. I've been saying this for a while. I think they need another player, like energy, whatever. They just need somebody who can go guard somebody. Andrew Nembhard, you're not scoring on the next five possessions the way GP2 did it last season. They've had other guys. When you throw out that Poole, Clay, Steph perimeter, I mean, even without Halliburton, they were getting, like, exposed.
Did you see the stats I put in the I wrote the post-game article? That three-man combination, which obviously started yesterday, they were minus 15 together yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're minus 17, which isn't some crazy number, but I think they have like a 116 defensive rating together. They have, of any of their like top 25 highest three-man combos, they have the worst rebound rate. And what's, you know, I guess probably concerning, like last year they were dominant together. They played 121 minutes together. Last year they were plus 96. It was like something insane, that rating. It's just not working as good this season.
I don't think it works well without Wiggins. I mean, I know it's smaller with Looney off the floor and Wiggins in there, but somebody's got to guard somebody. Like, that is a real problem when you have three places to attack and no one who can guard the top guy. And that's Wiggins. It just, you know, underlines how valuable, we all know how valuable.
Yeah, Wiggins, but he is. Hasn't Ooh. Been that guy either.
Though. He hasn't. Yeah, like, he's better, you know, at that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's better at it than they are.
A bit.
Yeah,
I mean, Dante looked pretty good at it in the stretches. He could at least put ball pressure. To me, it was weird not to see more Jonathan Kuminga. It was just like, that's the guy. Like, it's dope. You got to be a different level defender, like an expert defender, like a GP2, when a guy's already hot, to then go cool him off, right? That's a tough task for somebody like Jonathan Kuminga to do. Like, all right, he's rolling now. Yep. Go shut him off. It's like, nah, you need somebody on him from the beginning so he doesn't get going. At least they don't have those type of defenders. They don't have a defender to say, go turn off the faucet.
Yeah, well, you know, that's somewhat – isn't that somewhat of the disappointment in Moses Moody right now? Well, you know, I mean, the thought was 3-D. You know, he played 8 minutes. And, you know, I as we saw in the Houston game, he can hit threes. Like, you really trust his shot. But the defense, particularly like on-ball defense, is just – it's not there. It much more is there with Kuminga. There was some people that were a little curious, like, why is Kuminga not in the rotation to start the game? He doesn't come until 8 minutes in the second quarter. But he's guarding Nembhard down the stretch, and he fouls out. So, I mean, you pretty much maximize the possible minutes you could have with him, since he picked up six fouls playing overly physical, and a T on his way off the floor, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, it is – their point of attack defense has been downgraded from last season. That's
And like, it's the point of attack, but the problem is – well, not the problem, but one of the problems with – their point of attack defense being bad is that they don't really have that backline protection. And it feel like that used to be better too. It's like, if you get past your man, and often that's what the pick and roll is. That's what Nembhard did. He just worked the pick and roll to get by. Like, that's pretty much it. You got a mid range at the rim, or you're getting all the way in, or somebody's getting a dunk. I don't know what it is, their rotations. There's something really off about how they defend the paint once a player is in the paint. It reminded me of that play-in game with Ja. Remember, Ja just at the end was like, look, I'm going to get to the dotted line. You can't stop me from getting here. And once I get here, I do what I want to do. But it was Nembhard this time.
Right? Remember Ja doing that in game two also of the second round? This is post Peyton goes out with the injury. And he was just going by Clay. He was going by Poole. He was even going by Wiggins. So, yeah. And no rim protection.
Yeah,
I think where Wiseman was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's not going to be Wiseman. I think what happens is Draymond, I think a couple times Draymond took Nembhard, like, as he tends, like, let me get this guy for a possession. He was coming, you know, he was having to come out because they were so weak. They were so exposed on the perimeter. Draymond was coming out to try to stop it, to be an on-ball guy. And so when he's out 24 feet from the basket, then he's not that back line, you know, and he's not Dikembe, right? He's not Gobert.
He's not even Draymond Green of 5 years ago as a shot blocker. Yeah. You know what I mean? As an actual rim protector.
He can test. He's there. But, yeah, he's not a guy like they're going to say, I can't get in there. You know, look who's there. In a way, like the Warriors were doing with Jalen Smith, by the way. Like, they're like, maybe not. And the way they were defending Steph, and again, not a great night for Steph, obviously a bad night for Steph shooting. But like they were the bigs were defending him. Like they were active, they were switching, and they were not like doing drop in any way. And he couldn't get around them. No one else could figure out a spot. Again, maybe it's tired legs, it's Wiggins, but I think that's a little bit like if you can play stuff like that and no one else is jumping in their Clay for a little bit, Poole for a little bit, but they didn't have that other thing. And you know, there's some definite issues here. I don't think they're killer issues. I think they can be fixed, but the pieces did not fit against, again, a severely undermanned Indiana team that we would say, even when they're fully manned, is not a great team. Warriors should win that game at home. Like that should be what they do.
I mean, we see these games all the time though. Right. And I do think a big part of the Pacers, like if you want to figure out a kryptonite for the Warriors, it's youth and athleticism. Mm. Right. So it don't even matter.
They were comparing it to playing the Pacers last season. I don't know if you remember, but they came in without many players and beat absolutely. The Warriors.
Yep.
And honestly, post game locker room, what your mark is, that's what the players were saying. They were just like, it's weird to play them. They don't have patterns. They're just like frantically going around. They're like probably trapping when they shouldn't trap at times. They just sometimes they do prefer to play like veteran teams who, like, you know, Phoenix, you just kind of know how they're going to operate. They just had no clue how Indiana was going to operate.
Kind of like those are fast and athletic
long. Yeah, absolutely.
The Isaiah Stewart alley-oop, a few people in the locker room were like, what, like, how did he even get that? You know, do you remember that one?
It was behind him a little bit. A little behind him. He just threw it.
I thought he threw it away.
Yep.
It looked like it was like an errant pass. He threw it away. Next thing you know, he's like hanging from the rim. You're like, wow, he got that? It was crazy.
Yep.
But you know, this is the other thing too. This is going to be all year. People go crazy on the defending champs. Like, you have the game of your life, and they still get baited into. To me, I mean, I know they're shooters. I know it. I know Steve Kerr is not going to tell them to stop shooting. They take too many threes. That's the bottom line. If you look at these close games, you know what it is? Everybody else is getting in the lane. Everybody. If you look at all these games, it's somebody who's saying, I'm getting downhill, I'm coming off the pick and roll, and I'm working my way inside out. Just because you're the champions don't mean basketball philosophy doesn't apply to you. Jim Barnett will be saying, inside out, baby. Work inside out. As Kalen Azubuike says, break the paint. They don't even do that. They try to respond when teams get hot by going to hit two threes in a row and shaking the building. And it worked for the 18-2 stretch. It's just not sound basketball. It's not sound basketball to come down and chuck threes. And then Poole got to the basket whenever, like, it felt like he could do it whatever he wanted to, especially when they got Buddy Hield on him. Everybody was driving on Buddy Hield, but they just decided not to do it. They go for dagger threes sometimes, like they're a young team. Like, they don't know, yo, we could two-piece this team to death. Like, we could methodically kind of, like, work them. But, like, if you're shooting threes against a young athletic team, those are long rebounds. You're literally helping the young team do what they can do best instead of methodically taking them apart. To me, that's Steph, that's Clay, that's Jordan Poole. That's the biggest mistake they do is they get so three-happy. Just like, chuck it, we're going to make five in a row, and then you're going to see how powerful we are. Yep. And it doesn't happen.
Especially at Chase, right?
Especially at Chase.
But, you know, that's an energy thing because it's hard. Slater, like, it takes energy to get in that lane. And you get bumped and you get tired.
That's why Steph ain't going.
And also, I mean, how many they don't have a ton of guys who like tough twos. They just don't. Wiggins is probably their top guy. And they've kind of told Kuminga not to do it anymore. So Kuminga doesn't take those get in the lane and just try to work for a shot.
Which is a mistake, I think.
You know, but he does turn the ball. Like,
but the problem is they're running the offense on the perimeter.
Yeah, and that's all. Like, that's what is being defended too.
Yes, yeah. But if you get Kuminga the ball at the elbow, now you don't need 58 handle dribbles.
I think he's scared to shoot from there.
I mean, telling him to play like Draymond or Anthony Lamb or something, and then he's also out there at times with Draymond and Anthony Lamb, and DiVincenzo's out there, and he's kind of pass first, and it's like, you know, Steph's getting trapped. He's throwing it over the top, and then it's a bunch of guys DHOing each other.
Do not want to shoot Anthony Lamb.
I mean, does Kuminga not want to shoot, or he's trying to follow directions?
He's trying to follow directions.
I think he wants to stay on the court. I think he wants to shoot the ball. Yeah. I'm just saying, you instead of getting him on the perimeter, hand it up, get that dude the ball.
Get him on the nail. Put him on the nail.
Like they did it. They did it one play. He spun baseline, got the dunk, right? Like put him in the post up spot of the split action against the matchup you want and let.
I'm sorry. I think we all like Steph Curry does not want his offense late in the game running through Jonathan.
Yeah, Kuminga. It's just
no, not late in the game. I'm just saying that parts of the game. Yeah, like, so that's the thing. They shoot these threes, and like if you're getting down, I don't know. In basketball, you're just like, yo, man, where do we go to get a bucket? Like, what is their bucket? What is their money play? It's probably the little split action to get the three.
Yep. Or it's Draymond high pick and roll for Steph, and yep. you space the floor with usually Wiggins, Clay.
Yeah, there's one guy who they can do that, like Marcus is talking about. It's Andrew Wiggins. He didn't play. It's like dump it to Looney, and he does 11 pump fakes in the lane. And he tries to finish.
Man, I'm saying add Kuminga to the list. Put Kuminga in a block.
I think what's even if he's not being told that, what will get Kuminga out of the game faster? He passes the ball every single time, even when he has a lane, or he does two of those, and one of them's a turnover. He's out. He's out of the game.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's got to be a little bit more patient because you know what else is going to be? It's going to be fouls. Yes. He's going to draw a foul.
Yes.
He's going to draw a foul.
I think it could work that way. It is not in this very early stage of Jonathan Kuminga being back in Steve Kerr's good graces. And he's seeing what happened to
touch
most...
it. He like,
he's like, you are. Get this ball out of my hands. I don't want it anymore.
You ain't pulling me out the game.
I can only get in trouble if I do.
I already had to sit and watch the first 16 minutes of Anthony Lamb.
I may not play ever again. And look what happened to Moody. That is just... By the way, Moody tried to do that thing a couple of times in his 8 minutes stint in the first half. He didn't get another one. Like, takes two dribbles, and then he's just entirely in trouble. Like, all of a sudden, it's panic time. That's why he's not playing. And other than he fouls. Like, you can just see it, you know. We've questioned why he isn't playing more, and I think he still could play more. But then Kerr does
play. I mean, I hear you, TK, but Anthony Lamb is not looking great.
He's not. That three-point
stroke. It's not like he's out here lights out. That
three-point stroke is not quite there. I. This is all relative. I mean, I'm sure Moody could play more. Kuminga could play more. Lamb could play less. But again, I'm just saying I see why Kerr does this, because Moody gets them into trouble. Like, Lamb doesn't get them into trouble. Moody gets him into trouble by fouling, which Lamb doesn't do as much, and also by doing that two dribble slow motion. Uh-oh, I'm stuck, and now Steph, where are you, Steph? Please come here and get the ball, because I can't do it anymore. That's problematic for the Warriors. They need another player. I'll just say they need another player to try to kind of alleviate some of that pressure. By the way, JaMychal Green like barely played in this game. That was
8 minutes, same as Moody. You didn't really see him much in the second half. They went really small. You know, and I thought it was a good move. I thought DiVincenzo gave really good minutes. So you
saw
him.
DiVincenzo's tough. Like, he'll rebound, he'll fight, you know, on ball defense. That tip in, by the way, off the missed free throw was pretty damn good. I thought that was going to be the
play. He's a really good rebounder. Yep. Always has been. The metrics have always like had him as one of the most elite rebounders at the guard position in the league.
He just plays hard. That's to me, like, that's where the Pacers won the game, man. They just play hard. They got a bunch of young dudes who. They just go. And that's like, you know, not to make this a Wiseman thing or Kuminga.
Oh, no.
That's what they want to see.
Yes.
Like, you want to see that. You want to see dudes just reckless abandon. Just go. Like, play hard. But Dante is like, all right, I'm game for that. And that's, to me, if, like, Poole had an area to improve, it would be that. Like, go get out there and scrap with them, dude. Like, you 23, you know, go. Go scrap. Like, Nembhard is 6'3". Like, he's not insanely bigger than everybody. He's just uber competitive. And it's like, I'm getting to my spots. I don't care what you do.
He also probably just had an out-of-body experience. So, you know.
It happened. Listen, you're trying not to have guys have out-of-body experiences. So, like, it's not, like, totally – it's at some point, it's within your power to limit that, especially at the end of the game. And they didn't do that. Poole has done that himself, and we credit Poole for it, because he's like can do that sometimes in games. It's just going to be a difficult equation for them when it's Poole and Steph and Clay have to guard somebody. Like, even when Wiggins plays, sometimes they really do have to guard somebody. A lot of times they don't. So when they do, that is going to be an issue, and they know it's an issue, and it pulls Draymond away from what he does best, because he's always got to be thinking help. Looney's always got to be thinking help, and guess what? Then their guys are alone. You know, how many times was the Indiana player just standing in the lane, like, I'm now open, give me the ball, because the bigs.
Draymond went to go put out a fire.
Exactly, the bigs have to come up and try to help out this penetration, and boop, there's guys open behind. Couple times I think the guards might have been a little late on the rotation, including number 30, which just kind of goes into the fatigue.
That is part of this, though. Like, I don't think Steph Curry's having that great of a defensive season. No. Certainly not like the one he had last year. No. Klay Thompson, you know, I think showed a lot in the finals against Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, like, you know, holding up better than probably we all predicted, you know, but he's still at a stage of his career where his defense is, as we all know, not nearly what it used to be. You know, it's somewhat the veteran problems too.
Yeah, and it's the long season that they just had. Like, all these things, understandable, but like, they do have to kick it in at some point. And what I'm looking at is, like, they've got this long road trip coming up, and they are going to probably get splattered in it. Like, they're just, that's the way it's going to work. If they don't, I'll credit them for it.
So what's your six game prediction? Should I read off the six games?
Yeah, read off the six. I'm just saying 2-4 would not be terrible.
Milwaukee to open it on a Tuesday night on TNT. Back to back the next night in Indianapolis against these same Pacers, probably with Halliburton. And then an off day, and then at Sixers, and then an off day at Raptors, who athletic young long. Yes. And then an off day, and then it's a back to back to close it. At Knicks, at Nets, you know, you're probably expecting rest at, you know, for some of the main guys, at least one to two of those, you know, games within the back to back. So, and some tough ones throughout, you know, 3-3 is probably.
Oh, 3-3 is.
3-3 would be great.
Would be great. 2-4 is salvageable, but 1-5 is on the table. 0-6 is on the table, frankly. So, like, they're coming back from that trip likely under 500 and maybe 2 or 3 or 4 games under 500. So just be ready for that. That's what I'm saying. Just be ready. This is where they're at. And then all of a sudden they're going to be out of the playoff, you know, rankings at that point. And they're going to have to fight their way back in. Like, this is stuff that's happening this season. You know, you understand it. And I think you have to make some adjustments for it.
We will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
They've got Boston coming in, and they're like more. At what point do you start just saying, "Hey, let's sit a couple guys"? Like, these are games
we're for the Boston game. For the Boston,
you're saying sit guys after two off days.
We're probably not going to win
on ABC on the NBA's first ABC Saturday night game of the year. They're going to hype it as a finals rematch, and you're
it would
like,
be a great protest against the schedule.
Yeah.
Three back-to-backs in a six-game stretch. Like,
well, but I mean, but this is coming off two. Like, they don't play Thursday. They don't play Friday. They don't play.
No, you just
Sunday
don't.
And they don't.
It ain't
play
about
Monday.
That. It's about not showing your hand. Not, you know, what I'm saying, you might see them again in the finals. You'd be like, "Hey, man, we're not gonna show you. Oh, we don't want you to see us while we're bad."
Boston,
you
know what? Yeah, that's what their hand.
Boston's gonna think if you do that. Boston, they can't beat us, so they had to throw the white.
Oh, they can think that. Or they thought that last year. They can think that all they want to.
They're playing all their guys for that.
No, it's gonna be. It's definitely gonna be a picture of where they are, like, because Boston is best team in the league,
and then at Milwaukee, that two game.
Yeah, so you're gonna get the best offense in the league. You're gonna get the best defense in the league in back to back games, and it'll be a great measure of where you are. To beat, look, isn't all of this? Who's happy about all of this? Not happy they're struggling, but who's happy about all of this? This feels like all the impetus in the world to go make a move.
Yes.
Like, if you're a proponent for them doing something, these next seven games, including this last one,
the Utah game is pretty interesting, you know, because they're not a great team, but they're tough on at home, and you just beat them. And if you get destroyed, that's a sign. Like, there's things that you do have these lingering problems. You fixed it a little bit, but they're still there. I mean, you know, Marcus was grandly cynical about this, you know, 8-3 run they had. Like, let's see him do it over a sustained. And you're right, Marcus. Like, I didn't think it was all fixed. I think the major things that kind of they just backfilled, but they still don't have enough players. That second unit can get a little wobbly. And if the first unit gets crushed, they are in trouble. And, you know, that's what happened last night.
I think the trouble you're seeing now is, you know, I thought, okay, you've solved the rotation enough. You solved some of the equations, but it was like, well, this is still relying on Steph Curry playing, like, you know, the unquestioned MVP. And it's like, okay, yeah, he's going to go through a downstretch probably at some time in the early winter, which we're getting to. Like, he's going to go through a little bit of a slump. I'm not – like, 3-17 last night is probably – might be his worst shooting night for the rest of the season. But he's going to cool down. And then if he's cooling down, you don't have answers elsewhere. That's the problem.
Yeah, especially when Wiggins is out. But, you know, you don't always have your full roster all the time. And they haven't really experienced injuries. And they're going
you might
to have to make
argue they've been the most fortunate team in the league,
yep.
You know, from just straight injury perspective.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
We're, many years they weren't.
We are not going to act like Rick Celebrini doesn't exist. And this was Lady Luck. This is all the greatness of Rick. So what you call luck, they call Celebrini.
Celebriniism. We'll see. Again, if they don't have any injuries,
the most powerful
year,
man in the organization.
let's see.
It's proven his worth. That's what's happening.
He also, you know, handed them a couple Pelicans losses along the way, too.
But also, look at this. But, I mean, I don't know what's going on with GP2 in Portland, but GP2 played for the Warriors, right? He got through the season mostly. He has not played yet for Portland. It's amazing to me. Like, what has happened?
It's probably because he depressed. He had to leave.
He's not depressed by the Jets.
I guess a pretty serious ab surgery.
Yeah. You know? I mean, but I think they keep saying, like, it's – they're not. They didn't say.
It was supposed to be. Yeah,
it was supposed to be pretty long, bad. Yeah, it was like any time now. But that's been since, what, like November. And there's still no word on when he's going to come back. They didn't say, like, oh, no, he won't be back till January.
Yeah,
they
from what I heard, though, that he was, like, even when Portland was in, I think either preseason or early in the season, he was, like, indicating to Warriors people, like, some point in December. Mm-hmm. Seemed, even if, like, that wasn't Portland's direct messaging on it. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's lingering. And, again, like, I know this. Like, part of the reason they didn't want to commit to him, like, over a long term at that type of money was, like, the concern about his body. He just turned 30. He had the hernia thing that impacted his camp last year. Obviously, you know, with his style of play, a little kamikaze-like out there. It's very effective, but it leads to, you know, he broke his elbow. Obviously, that was a very dirty foul, but, you know, when you're up in the air that often, like, you know, there is concern about his health long-term. Yeah. Same with Otto Porter, by the way, who missed the first part of Toronto's season with a hamstring injury, came back, and now I think he dislocated his toe. He's out currently. Like, both those guys came with injury tags.
Yep. And this is why you got to be careful when you're doing the free agent thing, because, you know, guys become available most often for a reason. And you got, you know, they did really well last season, like really, really well. And this season with DiVincenzo and Jermichael Green, maybe they went 1-for-2, or maybe, you know, a limited amount of Jermichael Green is going to be just fine. He's not terrible. He does some things for them. You know, they take him off the floor sometimes too, but it's hard. It's hard to go 100% for this. You're not normally going to do, and they needed it. You know why they needed it this season? Because Moody and Wiseman are not in the rotation. Like, they are just scrambling for rotation pieces. This is why Anthony Lamb is in the rotation, like, for the foreseeable future.
Not to mention Patrick Baldwin,
Patrick Bowen,
and you know, Ryan Rollins.
Yep. Yeah, Ryan Rollins. Yeah.
They could use Iguodala in there, but I have no idea.
And Iguodala,
they could use him in there. And, you know, what if they get a couple injuries and like, guys are out for a couple weeks? Like, they might be having to play Kuminga and Moody, and I don't know about Rollins, who knows? But like, they are not too far from like, we're playing guys we really don't want to play. It's the way they built it. I understand it, but this is what, when Moody and Wiseman were supposed to be in the rotation and they're not, I get it. I don't disagree with it. The numbers are, you cannot argue with the numbers on their on off with those guys, but this is the problem when it gets to this point. You miss Wiggins and all of a sudden the whole thing spins out of whack because you just don't have reliable players behind them. Like, who is their other small forwards? Like, they just don't have.
I mean, you just got to play guys. You just have to play guys. You just have to play them. And that's one of the issues with being so tight-fisted about the minutes is, like, all of the minutes have to go somewhere, and right now they're going on the 30-year-olds. So, like, you got to pay for that. Like, we're talking about this in December. Like, we haven't even gotten to the dog days of, like, right before the break, you know, where it's like, oh, we're still playing games. When's the All-Star break coming, right? You still got 2 months before you get to that part. So at some point, you just have to, like, you can't play 8 guys in the course of an 82-game season.
Not when they're 33, 34 years old.
So whether it's now, whether it's later, it's going to happen, whether injuries force you to do it or fatigue. At some point, they're just going to have to play. He's just going to have to play guys. He's just going to have to play him or get him out of here. That's like, or swap him out, right? That's the only other option, because if Steph, I mean, you just look at Steph and it's like, he can't do this. Not for the, if you do it for the whole season and somehow he survives, you just basically tank the playoffs, because then you can't ask him to turn around. They go do it again.
Oh, go, go. Yep. And, you know, he could get hurt. And then where are they? They're in some trouble. There's some, like they were last season when he got hurt. It just was real, really well timed, because his injury happened to keep him off his feet for the last 3 weeks of the season. And then he was pretty fresh for those playoffs.
And Poole just turned into like a 45% like high volume 3-point shooter at that time. Yep.
And it was really good for Poole's confidence going into the playoffs. All those things were good. But there are some holes in this roster. They're very clear. I don't know. You think they're going to do something in the next, before the deadline, like well before deadline, Slater, or is it going to be up to the deadline?
My understanding, and this is like the messaging I've mostly got on it, is like, you know, like reassess in January, essentially. Like, January is the time I think most teams really start to, you're deeper into the season. I think these West standings eventually will start to you know, separate themselves into like the necessary tiers. Right now it's just a clutter. Maybe it continues into January, but you obviously get past the December 15th, you know, I guess deadline or whatever you want to call it, where pretty much all guys who signed contracts over the summer are eligible to be traded. And then other teams start to look, you know, as that, to me, like January 1 to the deadline is when everyone's going to reassess across the league. You know, what if you, you know, if Utah hits a down patch and Danny Ainge suddenly makes everybody available, you know, what if Chicago's, you know, there's been talk about Caruso lately, obviously. What if Chicago either, you know, ascends again or dips? Like, they need to know that over the next 4 weeks before they even seriously talk about stuff. So my expectation is that, yeah, I do think the Warriors will probably come to the realization that they do need to make some around the edge moves, and maybe we can get a little bit more into Wiseman. We probably need to do a weekly Wiseman update. But yeah, I mean, I would just say they're not there yet because the calendar doesn't dictate that they have to be there yet, basically.
I mean, even if they wanted to, there's just not that many options available.
Right, nobody's now trading right now, you know?
Yeah.
What if they go win and file on that road trip?
I mean, that would inform them more that eventually they probably need to make a move. I don't think it's like, oh, we lost this game tonight. Like,
yeah, they're not that. Yeah. What's up? The Myers, don't be day traders. Like, you got to look at the whole picture. And I get that. But like, this is pretty well established that they've got some flaws. Understanding
it's 25 games.
Yeah. They've got, it's a big chunk. It's 30% of the season, whatever it is. And they're getting, an immortal season from Steph Curry. This is an incredible season. That is understood. And they're still not that great a team. Like, that's a little problematic. Like, what happens when he's not playing at the highest level possible, which was last night. And you saw some of that. Doesn't mean he can't do it in the playoffs. Doesn't mean he can't do it for huge long stretches, but he has played as well as Steph Curry can play. And that's really, really, really great. And they're not that great.
Yeah, the one thing that should both, like, it kind of like saves them a little bit in the moment, but should also probably motivate them to upgrade come, you know, mid-January, February, is that look around at the West. Like, who is in a good spot right now? I mean, Phoenix is the best regular season team, just like they were last year. Is there any extra fear about Phoenix, especially no Jay Crowder, Cam Johnson has a torn meniscus, like Chris Paul?
They have a champion on their roster now.
Damian Lee.
Yeah, I mean, but he's having a great season.
He's having a great year,
Fourth quarter.
They can use Damian Lee right now.
Oh, he could. He could. But generally, like, you know, do you think there's like a bunch of fear? Do you see what Dallas did to Phoenix last night in Dallas?
That was
30 again.
In front of Odell Beckham Jr.
I know. It was. You know, go down the list. I mean, Memphis, sure. Like, Memphis is going to be a really tough team to beat in the playoffs, but they're no different really than they were last year. And
New Orleans is the difference, and Sacramento is different.
They're tougher, but to me it's not like if this Warriors team was in the East right now, you'd be like, yeah, you know, I'm not even sure
they'd be a four seed.
At best they'd be a four seed.
Man, you really need to reconstruct the roster to like have a shot, whereas I see what you're saying.
In the East, Boston, Milwaukee, like, there,
you're just like, how do you reconstruct the roster, you know, for that, those type of playoff series, you know, if you got them in round two, round three. So,
yeah, if Phoenix is the best in the West, that's definitely,
yeah, they got a shot at it. I mean, they got 30. I mean, they got 30 and 23. So they got a shot at any series.
They just got to keep 30 alive to the playoffs.
Yes. And they need to be in a right position. And
23. They got to keep 23 alive in the playoffs.
And while doing that, they need to make sure they're not the seventh seed, right? I mean, they got to like manage this to get to the fourth seed, third seed if they possibly can, and yet not like burn those guys, you know, to pieces. And Wiggins too, by the way. Like at some point, like, you can't play 37 minutes every game. Like, they just have to, like, it's a combo thing here, and they hoped it was going to be with the young guys jumping in there for the minutes, and that has not happened. So now that's kind of reconstructing, you know, the timeline or the game plan as they go, because they're just not getting these minutes out of these guys. And, you know, Looney didn't have a good game last night, and we saw the tumbling effect of that. Like, there's just – they are really leaning on three or four guys. And
if those guys tumble over, that's
they don't have somebody. Like, they don't have somebody that goes, okay, you know what? Because Looney's not great, we'll got Wiseman. And oh, you know what? Wiggins is having an off night, we'll just put Moody in there. That is not where they're at, and I don't think they're going to be there this season. And this is how they have to kind of. And Kirk clearly wanted to build up some wins here, and he did. You know, count on these guys to get them into the next round and next stage of this season, which is this road trip we're talking about. Kind of did it, but I don't know if it's enough leeway to really, you know, the shock of them going 1-5 or 0-6 is going to really hit. It's going to hit a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that would they would be feeling some type of way coming off that. Just like they, the 0-5 road trip really shell-shocked them. I mean, it honestly made them punt on the Wiseman situation. Yep, if they had just – and, you know, there were a couple of games, like Wiseman or not, they could have survived in Charlotte. They certainly could have survived in Orlando and Miami. You know, three of those games on that road trip, regardless it's of what all happened.
All the difference right game, now. Yep. They're like third seed in the West, two seed in the West, and they win those three games.
Yeah. They could have won those, and then, you know, they would have just been a little, much less tension around the whole situation when they just kind of reconfigured the rotation. But, you know, eventually that problem was going to reveal itself. You're right. Like a 1-5 road trip or even a 2-4 road trip, I think there'd be some grumbling.
I think especially if they get blitzed on some of those. Yeah. Like if they go in there and don't have a shot at winning a game, that's a pretty jarring thing. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised if you start hearing veterans talking at that point.
Yeah. And we'll see, that might happen. But also, like, I don't know. I'm watching the league last night. It was funny. I was talking to both Looney and Curry in the locker room post game. Well, you know, they have TVs in the locker room, and NBA TV was showing a bunch of highlights. They had just lost to the Pacers. And I was telling both of them, like, you see some of the results across the league tonight. It was like, Houston beat the Sixers. The Thunder went into Atlanta and beat Atlanta. You know, Dallas obviously blew out Phoenix. I think there, I'm trying to remember that. I think there was one more kind of crazy one, but it's just like everybody's beatable right now. I mean, the Lakers went into Milwaukee the other day and beat the Bucks. And
like, that was crazy. Bucks could not guard the Lakers.
Yeah, I think they put up like 132. I mean, Davis is playing crazy right now.
Was it the Hornets almost beating the Clippers? Because I think the Clippers were losing for a
Kawhi had a game winner.
Did Houston win last night?
Houston won a double overtime. And the Sixers in Houston.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, weirdness happens. You want to be above that. If you're the Warriors, you're not. You're in it. You're in this confusing mix. But like that's every one of these teams is a 5-game losing streak out of looking really bad. And the Warriors are in that. You know, if they were the 18-2 season, they were not in that. So this is the conversation. They still got the people.
Yeah, but they could do a 5-game win streak, though.
They could. Right? They're not going to do it on this East Coast road trip.
They lost. They lost six games, yeah. And then they you know went on a little 10-game run. Whatever, 8-7-3.
They went from three. They went 3-7 the first 10, 7-3 the next 10. And they were
this
10
is probably 10. Their year, right? It's going to be. they're going to take L's on the road, make up for them at home.
Do you remember the play-in season a couple years ago when they just sat at 500 the whole season? They like almost never went like 2 games or more up from 500, 2 games lower, and then they had the 6-0 home
TK,
stand.
TK, are you not predicting another 15-5 run?
15-5. Maybe after this road trip. Let's get after this road trip, and then maybe
it's gonna be sketchy, and then they're gonna go on a run at the end.
JTA into the rotation.
They need to get Wiseman out of there. Oh, wait a minute, they did that already. Hey, it's entirely capable of it because they've got Steph Curry playing like this and they've got other really good players. But it is going to take that for them to start really feeling good, and they're not there yet. And, you know, when they're back home for a big homestand, things will feel better again like they were for this last one. And again, we get all that. It's just like I think the defense is the major, like all the second unit is part of this.
Yeah, they can't guard.
But if you can't consistently rely on your defense, then there are just issues you're going to have where you're going to get hit like this. You know, once a week, twice a week on the road, three times. Like they can't rely on that for like every single level. They're not as good as they were. And that is like really problematic, I think. Just for the feelings within the organization that this is just like, wait a minute, what can we count on? Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, but not the whole package defensively. And I think that's going to be really, really harsh to see on this East Coast road trip, Eastern road trip.
Currently 20th in defense for the season, eighth in the last 10 games. So it has been getting better. But, yeah, I mean, you saw the problems last night. They just didn't have answers.
Yep. and it's on the perimeter a lot, you know, just which scrambles the back line. And I don't know, you know, if you've got Clay guarding, you know, Mathurin, which is what it was. And Mathurin wasn't great, but it just made them have to adjust to other things. And who would, you know, you had Kuminga on Nembhard, and you have Steph, you know, you just have some issues there that Steph had some Nembhard, and Nembhard did not mind going up.
Quiet Looney game last night too. 14 minutes, what, a minus 18 or something.
Getting cooked in the paint.
Yeah, he looks slow. Couldn't do anything. They all look slow, and that might be an energy thing, but
That also hurt their defense late, because, like, you know, Looney, I think, quietly really, like, erases a lot of mistakes. Like,
yeah,
Draymond,
he didn't
go
back
there
to him, did he? I don't remember.
No, he only played like 14 minutes.
Yeah, he does. He's very, but they needed quicker players out there for other reasons. He was really, like, as happens, the Pacers were just begging for the ball to get to Looney. Like, please pass it to Looney. He is open 5 feet from the basket. Throw it to him now. And the Warriors would, and nothing good would happen of it. Like sometimes Kerr just has to take him off the floor for that. But, we've seen them.
Vulnerable when Looney's playing like that. And that's become, he saved them so much right over the last calendar year. I mean, we've talked about it plenty, especially in the playoffs, but like the fact that this Wiseman draft pick has not worked out at all would look probably, you know, triple as bad as if Looney didn't somehow like morph into what he has, and like this Iron Man who's pretty much stable every night. But yeah, you saw it last night. Like, it was a bad Looney night, and there's nowhere for them to go. You know, that last night is the type of night, hey, it's a really high energy young game, Looney doesn't have it, go to Wiseman. You know, like, that's what the theory was. It's just not there. And again, I don't want to wrap too much into it, but they brought Santa Cruz to do a scrimmage and a practice yesterday at the facility pregame, like right around 2-3 p.m. or so. All of the Santa Cruz Warriors were at the facility. They did a whole practice so, you know, the staff could attend, watch, scrimmage, whatever. Then they called back Rollins and Baldwin and activated them. You know, if it was a blowout last night, like, you know, some people would have predicted it should have been, Rollins and Baldwin would have played, but they didn't activate or bring back Wiseman, I guess. You know, he's down there. They want to, you know, I guess keep him down there, keep his mind down there. But it's kind of interesting.
How many Warriors games has he missed now? Like 7, 8, something like that?
Yeah, sounds right.
I mean, it just, as Kerr said, this was not going to be a short thing. And it was clearly not a short thing. And I was looking at some of his plus minuses down there. Like, I think he's had one plus, but he's like minus 11 in G League games.
Yeah. He had a few decent ones to start. He had a bad one against Stockton 2 games ago where, I mean, you could watch the highlights, but Nemus Kita, who's a second-year Kings two-way guy, had 38 and 18. I mean, plenty of people have talked about it. If you watch the highlights, it's not all against Wiseman, but it's a lot of Wiseman losing, you know, going at a pump fake on a guard and you just shoveling it to Kita, or, you know. I mean, he was not good defensively that night. I mean, the film makes it obvious. I would say the most recent G League game was Wiseman's best G League game. I mean, not even just the numbers, like I think it was 24 and 12, but the fourth quarter down the stretch when Santa Cruz closed the game, he had 3 to 4 like pretty ferocious dunks. He played with the most force and most like, hey, I am a lottery pick in the G League. Like, I need to show that type attitude, I'd say. Again, it's one game. He was like a minus six.
It's happening, Slater. Wiseman's coming back to be the backup center they need.
I mean,
book it.
At some point,
you book it.
They might try. I mean, like, we all know the dynamics at play. Like, at some point, that might be attempted.
Yep. Yeah, I think he needs about four more of those, right? He needs four more of those
later.
Yeah, he needs a lot more of those games.
I actually was impressed with his fourth quarter the other night. That's all I'd say. Again, these just like such like little, like small baby steps in a career that is not even anywhere near where any of us predicted it would be. But it's notable, I guess.
Yeah, I just said, if you're Steve Kerr, you know, yeah, that's great. I'm gonna watch the highlights, and then look, he's minus 11, minus 12, minus 6, minus 7, minus 9. That's not good. Like, just that in the G League, that's how he killed the Warriors. And I'm a Wiseman guy. Like, I've been defending him for years. I think he's a massive talent, but he just kills lineups. He just destroys them. I don't exactly 100% know why. It just happens. And you can't ignore that. He's going to have to completely turn that around. Just that. He's not getting up here if he's in the minuses in G League. He is not coming back up to the Warriors unless they have a desperate need. And an injury, you know, injury could, it could change that. But
I do think they played against like another example of that. And what's the guy who used to be on Phoenix with the Pacers?
Jalen Smith.
Phoenix, same thing. Couldn't get in the game. Monty Williams wasn't a fit, right? Ends up. Look at him now. Like,
they didn't even pick up his third year option.
They were done with him.
10th pick of the draft.
This is it. Like, Jalen Smith
was it Halliburton was taken after
him? Yeah.
But like, he was a problem last game, right? Like,
So he's turned pretty good. You know, he's a good shot blocker. He's developed decently well.
That we'll to me would be a great, if Wiseman follows that model, right? What are they doing? Like, how has he made this transition from can't play for this Western Conference champion Phoenix Suns, right? To
Western Conference champion?
What? They were. He was on the team.
Two years.
He was on that team, right? And then
I thought you redid the postseason last year.
Oh no. Western Conference number one seed. How about that?
There you go. Much better.
All right, but yeah, you know. Like, that to me, like, you look at this guy and he gave the Warriors fits and he's not doing anything great, but he's just like, hey, I want you to do these things and just do them well. And Rick Carlisle's got him doing them. So just speed that process up for Wiseman and get him in there by January.
It's good. Press forward. I think part of this, and I don't want to get too much into this, like, I think Wiseman is just too big to play for the Warriors. Like, it's hard. Like, Bogut was that big, but he was so smart that he, like, you got to be able to move. You got to be able to switch sides of the court. You got to, like,
well, I mean,
just, like, part
I
of
think
his
he can move. He just doesn't know where he's going.
He doesn't move quick enough to the right spot. But,
or how about you just change the system?
They're not changing the system.
I'm not totally, but when it was David West in them, they weren't running.
No, but he was so smart they could do it because you're so smart.
I mean, I'm not saying put him at the high post.
Yeah, put him on the high post and let Marcus, him run everything.
And let him make a decision. Now, I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying.
Part of the plan was like Poole and Wiseman in the second unit running pick and roll, like spam pick and roll. That's where he fit. And that is his best, you know, fit. The problem is those lineups got crushed because their defense got crushed. The big problem here is that whenever he's on the floor, they get guard.
That's what I'm saying. He's too big. He, like, when he takes one step, it's such a big step and it's in the wrong direction. He can't recover. It's like Jalen Smith is 6'10". Like, he can, like, run around a little
and
bit.
He's a springy one, though.
Yeah,
like,
he can get out on the perimeter. I'm not trying to kill Wiseman here. I think he's tried his hardest. I think he's a smart guy. I think all these things that you like in a person is he has those qualities. He's just probably too big and too raw to ever play with Steph and Draymond in a productive way.
Man, you talking me into Joe Lacob's side. You better figure this out. He's 7'1". He's an athlete. If you can't get 12 minutes out of him, that's your fault.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about this, I think, after this show. But, again, this is coming from me who has – I've defended Wiseman. I think he's a really unique talent. But I just – the numbers show 50 games in his career, short sample, but – when he's the same player for them that he was as a rookie. So they're going to wait another 3 years for this. It's very hard for me to see that. And, you know, I'll just say there, and Marcus has suggested this too. There are people in the organization have pretty much already come to that conclusion. Some people, not all of them, but there's some people who've already come to the conclusion that this is not going to work. And there might be others coming to that side too.
But one of them decides whether or not.
Yeah, one of them is paying the actual
one
contract.
Of them is the decider. And his name is Anthony Slater. He's the decider.
Slater is the decider of Warriors Plus Minus. What he does, he's talking about.
All other
decisions.
Send us out of here.
You don't want to be the decider, Slater? Oh, what do you
no,
mean? You
know? No interest. I will detail, but not decide.
Slater and I will have our breakdown of the 49ers Dolphins game on another podcast very soon.
Yeah, man. You all right, by the way, Slater? You.
As I will quote Bill Belichick, on to the Chargers, baby. Sunday night, on to the Chargers. 8-4.
But when did that happen? Did that happen on the drive home, or did it happen third quarter in the seat?
When Robbie Gould inched that 48-yard field goal over the goal post. 48-yarder.
That was a hell of a kick. But
it was a big kick. Yeah, you know,
that was a whatever they're paying like $5 million for a kicker, which is
when the officials egregiously ruled that Mike Gesicki did not hold on to the football. Egregiously.
No. Were you wearing a Dolphins jersey in the stands, Slater?
Ricky Williams, old school.
Hey, Tua and I took a hit. That's a
Tua himself took a lot of hits
over the course of the season. Still solid. We'll see Sunday night again. Him against Herbert, by the way. We talk about, you know, high draft picks with sliding doors moments and stuff in the Wiseman draft. Dolphins took Tua a pick before Herbert, and they're facing off on Sunday Night Football.
All right.
Establishing the drama. Sorry. I mean, you guys pulled me into the conversation.
We did.
Of course we did.
All right. Until next time, let's see if the Warriors will be above 500 the next time we talk.
I'm guessing no. Man, we'll see. I mean, it's before the road trip, right? So it'll be right on the borderline.
They got to win in Utah.
Yeah, the Utah game's big. It's a big game. Like, they get crushed there, that's going to be really, really a signal about what might be coming. So we'll see.
All right. Until next time, we'll holla.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.